Susan, one of the things that I always hear your voice in my head is when somebody says, or I get to thinking, take the implicit and make it explicit. And it's one of the best lessons you've ever taught me. And I see a lot of that in what Lead Together organizations are doing in handbooks and playbooks, sometimes even in blogs. What's the purpose of documents like handbooks, playbooks, blogs, especially within Lead Together organizations and self-managing organizations?
Yeah, thanks for that, Travis. It's that those couple of words have really changed the way that I look at everything as well. And as we talk a lot about, right, there isn't one way to do this. And because we are sort of reinventing, to use Frederick's language, reinventing organizations, we need to be sharing what we're learning, and we need to be working out loud. Sorry, John Stepper. And really just creating the conditions where we can build coherence, because not just in Lead Together organizations, but so many organizations these days are decentralized, are growing quickly, are scaling. And if we don't write things down, then we don't have anything to build on. I often hear my good friend Alana Irving's voice in my head when I think about the idea of open sourcing artifacts for us to all learn from each other. The idea that if it's not written down, it's not open source, right? So how can we be learning from each other if we're not willing to actually share what we're learning? And like you said, that can take the form of published handbooks. We've got in the Lead Together book a really nice compendium of handbooks that we love. Playbooks around everything from how to do a roles process to a decision-making process. And also leadership blogs. Many of the organizations that I work with just do weekly reflections, for example, on a Slack channel. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. But the premise is, if we're not sharing what we're learning, we're kind of holding the system back, right? Because in this complex field, the more pieces of stuff that we have to start seeing patterns and making sense, the better. And I know that, you know, playbooks and handbooks are nothing new, Brent, but what have you seen in terms of how self-managing organizations' playbooks or handbooks might be different from those in traditional organizations?
The first and biggest shift I think that I've seen is in the language. So I come from a traditional HR background. I wrote handbooks traditionally, and the language would be very much from the company to those choosing to join the company. And the language would be very, it would be bordering on legal language. So you must, as an employee, you are expected to, if you don't, things like this. So very a punitive type of language, very much a saving from risk type of mindset, where in Lead Together organizations, it's much more a language written by the team for the team. So it's, we choose to do whatever we're talking about in this section. We invite, we ask, if this step isn't followed, then there's an invitation for a follow-on step to bring it back on track. So that's one. The second is that they're generally open documents. So in historically, for example, in an organization, I might've been the owner of the handbook, and it was up to me. If anybody wanted any changes, they'd have to come to me, convince me that that should be changed. Whereas many handbooks now are open and have a very clear process that allows and invites anyone in the organization to propose changes to the document. And then the third is how accessible it is. So it is something that is usually online. It's in some form that people can access it from anywhere, versus the traditional handbook. You know, it's that document you get on the first day with your employment letter, and then it quickly gets filed away. And so it is, these handbooks are really instrumental to helping the whole team know and understand how they've agreed to work together and become touchstone documents to keep going back to on a daily basis as a reminder, rather than that document that you pull out when there's a legal issue that has arisen. So, and maybe to build on that, so Travis, Susan talked a little bit about this already from one perspective, but I'm wondering if you have other perspectives on traditionally those documents that were created were considered proprietary. So it was a confidential document. It wasn't shared with anybody unless you were an employee of the company. And now, you know, as Susan mentioned, we list a whole bunch of them in the back of our book where you can go and see how that company chooses to work. And so why are more and more companies doing that beyond what Susan said about helping to just build community, I guess, so that we can learn from each other?
Right, because it definitely does. It builds the community to have it out there. When somebody takes your work and expands upon it, somebody in another company, you might be able to benefit from that. They've got improved resolution process, or they've done something clever with how the values have hashtags and they get used throughout the document to reference, oh, this one relates to our integrity and this one relates to our caring for others or whatnot, that it might be, which are improvements that I've seen out there in the wild as people have taken and move things around. But another piece of this is that, like in the software development world, a lot of people say many eyes make shallow bucks, right? You can find the problems that are there when more people can see it. And if you've got something that's there and visible, you also bring on this differentiation that can actually be a recruiting tool, right? When you actually have a handbook that's written in a way that is teammate to teammate, it actually becomes something of a draw to say, like, oh, hey, you know, like one of the things that I see regularly done, which has kind of become best practice, is often the values are very early in the other handbook, right? This is why we care. This is why you might want to work here. If you're trying to create this change in the world, we might be your people. And just having that front and center as something that you can share and say, like, this isn't just marketing material. This is literally what we go to when we have conflict, when we have challenges, right? And that open sourced way of doing things also allows for that constant updating that you were talking about, right? When there's a process, some people are putting this on GitHub where you can actually do a pull request to make some changes, and there's a review process in there, and you can say, like, oh, hey, we've all just agreed that, you know what, like, we're not going to do text message. One of my clients just agreed to this like last week, and they said, you know what, text messages are not the right way for us to be interrupt driven. Like, if you need somebody, call them or send them a Slack message, and there's a different time response that's expected from that. And all of those things are much more possible and easy to implement when you've got something that's available to all. So it's just a cascading set of benefits that come from doing it this way.
Yeah. One other thing I'll add is that, you know, in the traditional sense, when we had that more legal-ish handbook, that often it would be provided to somebody on their first day. So they've now left their last organization, they've now signed their employment letter, and now they're learning what they've signed up for, where when it's transparent and out there in the world, people can go and see that before they choose to join the organization, so that when they join, they know what it is that they are joining, and they can, you know, a lot more integrity in the process that way.